From the center of North America and the heart of the continent, this is Interesting World, where we took a look at the otter side of the news. I'm Kenny. Thanks for finding us. Let's get started. I found these two stories and I thought I'd put them out and make sure that they're front and center. Google Home speakers were at risk of eavesdropping by hackers. This article is from No Tech and also Bleeping Computers. Now, Google has already fixed the issue, but before the patch, all the hackers had to do was be within wireless range, and they could have total access to everything. And if they got your Wi-Fi password, they'd have access to everything else. This layout from Bleeping Computer shows how a hacker can just go through and set up their own Google account, and then they had access to pretty much everything. Now, the person that found this reported it to Google in January of 2021 and made additional details in March of 2021. The new patch came out was in April of 2021. So that's 4 months that the hackers and people had knowledge of this exploit. Google paid the guy that found it $107,000 just for reporting it responsibly. But that exploit was out there for about 4 months. And this part's from Bleeping Computers. Having a rogue account linked to the target device makes it possible to perform actions via the Google Home speaker, such as controlling smart switches, making online purchases, remotely unlocking doors and vehicles, or stealthily brute forcing the user's PIN for smart locks. More worryingly, the researchers found a way to abuse the call phone number command by adding it to a malicious routine that would activate the microphone at a specific time, calling the attacker's number and sending live microphone feed. So it was around 4 months that people knew that this exploit existed, and it's just wild. Like, you pretty much could have control over someone's house. If they had a smart house, you could do anything in there. Now Google did fix it, it's no longer an issue. But let's pair it with this story. Now let's check out this story. SciTech Daily has this one. Researchers develop a device that can use Wi-Fi to see through walls. So forget this home speaker hack. They call this the Wee Peep, and it only costs them about $20 to make. So researchers from the University of Waterloo made a drone-powered device that when it moves closer to buildings, it can, to quote the article, exploit a loophole that the researchers call polite Wi-Fi. Even if a network password is protected, the smart device will automatically respond to contact attempts from any device within range. The Wee Peep sends several messages to a device as it flies and then measures the response time on each, enabling it to identify the device's location within a meter. Now, the researchers said that you could track people's movements through the movement of their cell phones. You could also map out where all their smart devices are and cameras. So as soon as the polite Wi-Fi loophole was discovered, we realized that this kind of attack was possible. All for $20. Big Brother is very proud. Video comes from Titicaca out of Bolivia, and they claim to see a UFO.
Conmoción en un pueblo de Bolivia donde juran que una nave extraterrestre se ha sumergido en el lago Titicaca. Estas son las imágenes captadas por uno de los habitantes del lugar que asegura fue testigo del momento en que el objeto metálico con forma de platillo se introdujo en las aguas.
Tan solo minutos antes dicen que vieron al extraño aparato flotando en el lugar justo antes de sumergirse en ese lago, para luego salir disparado al espacio. Varios investigadores del fenómeno OVNI aseguran que los avistamientos son bastante comunes en esa región.
And yeah, so there's a UFO under the water in Lake Titicaca. What it is, we don't know, but there definitely was something there. Without a video of it moving, it's hard to tell what it is, though. Now, our next UFO comes from Instagram, a diamond shape. So that was out of Mexico. It was a highway in Mexico where they saw this UFO. Tons of witnesses. Kind of looks like a blimp to me, or some sort of unmanned lighter-than-air vehicle just flying along. It's hard to see if there's any sounds or anything like that because of the highway. But they never mentioned anything like that. Well, it's hard to tell because I don't speak Spanish. But yeah, blimp flowing down the highway in Mexico. That's my vote for this one. Let's go on to the next one. Now, Russia is claiming that they shot down a UFO. According to this Newsweek article, a mysterious object described by one local news outlet as a UFO has been shot down in southern Russia. Well, I mean, it's hard to tell. It is Russia. They are known for maybe not telling the truth. But all I can say is that if Russians can shoot down UFOs, that goes to show you how powerful the Ukrainian resistance is in the UK right now. I'll leave it at that. Now, our next one comes from Croatia, and it's just one of the classic bright lights on a dark brown sky. Two lights here. The next video shows a couple more lights. So definitely without more information, like where it was taken, what time of day it was taken at, we need to sort of isolate those things. If there's any sort of military activity happening around there, I mean, I don't know much about Croatia and what they do. They could have rocket testing going on, but there's definitely something there up in the sky. Or is it the mountains? You know, we don't know. There's not enough video footage to tell what's happening here in Croatia. But thank you, RUFO. Great site for collecting UFO sightings. Now, this next video comes again from RUFO, and it says that this video shows a stationary light blinking over the Los Angeles sky, higher than any helicopter can go. And while there is some debate about whether this is higher than any helicopter can go, it's still some very interesting lights that were taken over the Los Angeles night sky. And I like how he shot the camera away to sort of look for the scale of everything. This is where the thing is. It's not an ultra zoomed in shot. So yeah, the guy did a really good shot. A really good job taking this video. Nicely done. Another group that I like to frequent are Reddit High Strangeness. I got this video from it. Now it shows a light coming down from a security camera. And like, these are the videos that I love watching. These security cam footage is because you know that it's genuine, whatever this light is. Another Reddit community has some really good ideas. Chinese lanterns, maybe some flares being shot off in the distance. Or even if there's a hill in the background that we can't see, someone's driving down it. But yeah, these are all great ideas. What a great video. Thank you, Reddit High Strangers, for that one. So this is a TikTok. Now, I think this is a video that we may have reviewed before. I remember the sort of scenery here, the trees, and this looking like a Bigfoot that is carrying something, a female Bigfoot, very closely resembling the pendulum breast of the Patty Gillen footage. So, yeah, it looks like a person in a suit, and people are going to be like, oh, what's a person with a suit doing in a river? Well, they're on TikTok, and that video is at least a year old. So, I've seen it before. And that's why people fake stuff, because it gets around. It's worth it. All the leeches and mud they had to walk through for it, maybe they enjoyed it. I don't know, but moving on. This is a great video, great TikTok. Shaky cam, zoomed in shaky cam is now like the modern day equivalent of blurry photos. But apparently this is actually a really good footage of something. Yeah, that's a solid video of someone or something. It's completely black, walking in the woods. Yeah, that's a solid Bigfoot video. Whether it's real or not, we don't know. But yeah, there's a lot of things going there for it. It doesn't look like a cheesy costume. You know, people are reacting properly to it. They're not trying to cover up the Bigfoot with like text or anything like that. So yeah, that's a good video. That's a good TikTok. That's from 2011. See? There you go. Sometimes the oldies are the goodies. Now, this next one again comes from Ex Emplorium. They do a great job. It's a TikTok of a woman who's in an isolated cabin who has an encounter with...
As you can see, there's not a house around for miles. This is all the way around. This is our cabin. There's nobody else after that. Y'all, I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is, but I'm out here by myself. I had to call somebody out here. I'm scared. I don't know what it is. Okay, I'm back away. I'm backing away. I don't know. Look, I don't know what it is. Look. Oh no. Oh no, man. Oh no! Okay, guys, I just want everybody to see what I'm seeing. I just want to try to see what I'm seeing. Everybody, I want to make sure everybody see what I'm seeing. Okay, y'all, let me know what this is by the street. I don't know. I'm getting close. Ah! Man, forget that, man. I'm going back.
Now, again, that's the right maneuver when you encounter some sort of person dressed up in the woods, dressed like a bear, because you don't know what they're thinking. At least if you encounter a bear in the woods, you're like, ah, it's a bear. It wants food or it's going to sleep, and that's it. But a person dressed up like a bear in the woods that's walking just in a creepy way, yeah, that's the appropriate reaction would be to run into your house. Or your cabin, sorry. Two-car cabins. Nice cabin there. Now, this next video is out of Fox 35 Orlando, as you can see. And it's a mysterious creature underwater.
Look at that.
Alligator, Loch Ness Monster. I don't think it's the Loch Ness Monster because it's not in the Loch Ness, but whale, manatee, some other underwater creature. River monsters are the best in my opinion. Nice video, clear video. People are taking really good shots of things in the water lately. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Now, this next video was taken by passengers on the Norwegian cruise liner. And it looks just like there's just some sort of monster off the side of the boat. But it's not. Apparently, this is just a glacier. And they hit the glacier and it broke apart, and that's what it looks like. It's just... what an amazing video. And if you just saw that sort of front part, you'd be like, oh my god, there's this Cthulhu-like monster coming from underground, from under the water to eat this cruise ship. Nicely done. Nice video. Nicely done. Now, this next video comes out of WAATE.com, Channel 6 ABC, and it's about some mystery booms happening around Pal.
Don't know what was behind a boom that was heard in Pal yesterday afternoon. Listen. All right, that boom was captured by Steve Roach. It's been all the talk on social media. Many of you have been reaching out to our newsroom asking, what was that? Well, we have reached out to the Knox County Sheriff's Office about what happened. They tell us the source of the sound, quote, has not been determined. We also reached out to Rural Metro Fire about it. They say they don't know what caused the sound either. Of course, we'll let you know if first responders find out what happened.
Last week, we had some mystery booms come from Oregon all the way on the West Coast, and now we have some mystery booms coming out of Tennessee and Powell on the East Coast, close to the East Coast. Are they related? Maybe. Maybe there's some sort of supersonic testing going on. We don't know. But yeah, mystery booms continue to happen, irregardless of where you are in the States. Now, this next video, apparently there's some people hiking, and they came across this thing in the woods. Look at that thing. It's just so gross. Oh. And then you go to see it in the water, and oh my god, this thing is massive! Oh my god, could you imagine? If I saw that while I was doing some hiking, I would never hike again. That thing is terrifying. Now, apparently, this thing looks like a bootlace worm, which is the longest animal on Earth and produces neural toxins that can kill both crabs and cockroaches. A team of Swedish scientists have discovered this animal. That was from an article posted in 2018. And it looks horrifying. It looks like something Cthulhu would throw on the planet and then leave after that, because it would bring the terror everywhere. It would feed his terror. He would feed his terror. One. We're going to leave things off with just a little bit of fool's gold. Just some people figuring out how to do some special effects on their camera. Check this one out. When everything goes black for a full second and then the scene changes, it kind of gives away the special effects, but you know, good shot for trying, Destiny. Good shot. Now the next one comes from another, again, High Strangers.
Just some more footprints. This one we like to call Big Toe because of the obvious reason. And once again, if we count the toes, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And if we come over to this other print, looks like it's the same individual. Once again, really big toe. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 toes again. Just for size comparison, I'll put my foot over the top of it so you can see the difference. That's that one there. That's rough.
Okay. Here's the deal. If you're finding Bigfoot prints in the woods, or Yowie prints in the woods, and they're exactly the same as your own footprint, I mean, that's really suspicious. That's really suspicious. And apparently, and there's one big toe and an extra toe. Well, maybe you just moved your foot over a little bit. So yeah, maybe think about that next time you try to fake some, you know, Yowie footprints. Maybe don't put your foot up next to it, or you get someone else to do that. Or, yeah, you just get a tape measure and measure it. There's so many things you can do other than put your own foot up against the cast that you found in the woods of a Yowie print. That you made of a Yowie print. And then you counting 6 random toes. And there was no toes that you could see there, but just, well, here's 6 toes. Just think about what you're doing before you do it. And these are the videos that I saw this week that I thought were interesting. Thanks for watching. See you next time. And now, here are the interesting stories that I saw this week. Mysterious antennas are appearing in Utah Hills and officials are stumped. This comes from Vice. So these antennas have been appearing for about a year now, according to the KSL-TV-5 in Utah. Now these antennas are made up of a couple different components. And let's go to the Vice article. The three main components are a suitcase-sized plastic weatherproof case for their electronic equipment, for the battery and router. It was about 50 to 60 pounds. And then there's two antennas, 4 to 6 feet, and a solar panel, which is about 3 by 4 feet. It would be a pretty tough thing to do by yourself. So it's more likely that these mysterious antennas are placed by maybe a team of people. The fact that they are found in remote locations that are hard to get to. One was found on top of Mount Wire, which is about 7,000 feet up. So it's not easy to get to. There are some leading theories. One is cell phone boosters, but the other one is a bit more interesting. Back to the Vice article. Helium is a type of cryptocurrency that uses antennas to create a long-range, wide-area network. Instead of proof-of-work releasing tokens award, Helium relies on what is called proof-of-coverage. The wider the network, the more helium you're mining. Helium mining requires the exact kind of antennas shown in the photos, the device recovered by Salt Lake City authorities. There are plenty of articles online instructing people how to create solar panel rigs for helium miners. And helium miners are fond of bragging about the elevations of their antennas. I mean, that's just a natural thing. So they have already removed a couple of these antennas, and unfortunately, because of the winter weather setting in, they are unable to remove others. But this goes to show you that even in Utah, there can be some sophisticated fun happening all around. Sticking with mysteries, Ryan Sprague, who everyone knows, has a story in Medium.com about the suspicious death of a UFO investigator. Now in 2016, Max Spears was found dead in his bed the day he was going to give a presentation at a UFO conference in Warsaw, Poland. Now reportedly, his friend or roommate found him, and the article said, found Spears that morning face up, a dark black liquid seeping from his mouth that he had seemingly vomited up during the night. They quickly contacted emergency services, but when the paramedics arrived, they were unable to revive him. The Polish authorities did not perform any autopsy or postmortem, and they sent the body to England, where his mother lives, and the authorities there ruled that Max had died of natural causes. When his mother received his possessions, she had noticed that all the information from his cell phone and computer had been wiped. That is when she remembered that she got a text from her son just weeks before his death that read, "Your boy's in trouble. If anything happens to me, investigate." Now back to the article. So she did. Upon learning how deep her son had truly gone down the rabbit hole of UFOs and conspiracies, she began to truly wonder if he had either fallen too deep into dangerous world disconnected from reality, or, perhaps even scarier, he actually gone too close to the truth. Now the rest of Ryan's article is about other UFO investigators who have mysteriously disappeared. But you do need to be mindful of the company you keep no matter what you do. But there are some pretty unusual coincidences in this story. And now to go from one mystery to another. Mysterious cattle deaths in Colorado stump investigators. Now this story is out of The Guardian, but it was posted on December 1st, 2022. And it reads, officials scratching their heads over the deaths of 40 bovines since October that lack telltale signs of wolf attacks. Now there's always been a huge mystery when it comes to cattle mutilations. Who does them? Why do they do them? And how long have they been doing them for? It seems to be a worldwide phenomenon. Linda Moulton Howe has been documenting this for a very long time, starting in Australia, I do believe. And then there's been some more recent studies about the cow mutilations. They do agree that there is a phenomenon happening. But let's get to this story. About 40 cows and calves have been found dead near the town of Meeker in northwest Colorado in the past 2 months. Wolves were initially blamed for the deaths, but Colorado Parks and Wildlife, or CPW, officials have since said that only 5 of those deceased cattle showed signs of wolf-related injuries. The investigation has since focused on whether the cows could have been infected with a deadly bacteria. Postmortem have revealed no evidence of that either. The first event happened in October, when 18 cattle were reported dead. At that time, officials thought those killings were due to wolves, but only 5 of those deaths had been done by wolves. Now from the article, Investigators have used sophisticated technology to determine if wolves are present in the area, including trail cams and manned flights. The search had also included howling surveys, during which, now according to the website All Things Nature, biologists will stop periodically to howl and then wait for a response. Sounds like wood knocking for Bigfoot, but no wolves or evidence of wolves were found. However, wolves can be very elusive. The other main theory that investigators were going with was a bacteria. So they investigated for the bacteria, but no evidence of any infections have emerged. So the investigation continues. And this from the Guardian story. We're not trying to jump to any conclusions here. That's a good thing to say, especially in the world of animal mutilations. There's so many different theories. Aliens taking organic samples to bring back to their planets or wherever they're from. Or the US government checking for radiation levels in our food supply. There's a lot of wild theories when it comes to cattle mutilations in the world. And now, from our Earthbound mystery to some solar activity. Previously hidden sunspots unleash colossal X-class solar flares as it turns to face Earth. If you ever want to feel like just you're absolutely useless, just read about solar flares and what they do to the Earth. They just completely disrupt all electronic networks. They're just such an unstoppable force. NASA's Solar Dynamic Observatory recorded a massive solar flare on Thursday, January 5th at 7:45 p.m. Eastern. The outburst blasted out a glowing hot plasma dome that lingered above the sunspot AR3182 for over an hour. And according to spaceweather.com, because of the sun's rotation, the lively sunspot will soon face Earth and could continue as an explosive activity in the days ahead. Now, apparently it was already reported that there are some blackouts for shortwave radios in the southern Pacific, and this is an X-class, which is one of the most powerful type of solar flares. However, it's on the lower side of that X-class. Now, back to the article. Solar flare activity is on the rise, and it's part of a 25-year cycle, which scientists predict will peak in 2025. So maybe now is a good time to talk about hardening our tech. After all, we need to keep Twitter alive, right? Well, here's some more space news. This is from fizz.org. NASA's Earth Radiation Budget Satellite, a 38-year-old satellite, will fall from orbit this weekend, probably Monday morning. NASA said on Friday that the chance of the wreckage falling on AIM-1 is very low. Most of the 5,400-pound satellite will burn up upon re-entry, according to NASA, but some pieces are expected to survive. Now, this is very important. The space agency said the odds of injury from falling debris is about 1 in 9,400. So, actually, really good odds. Although the ERBS was only expected to work for about 2 years collecting ozone samples and atmospheric measurements, it remained operational until 2005. It's like one of those old pieces of technology that just keeps on going. Can't stop it. Now for some Twitter news. Hackers could be selling your Twitter data for the lowball price of $2. And this is from PopSci. A massive data breach. Around 235 million users, email addresses, phone numbers, names, and other credentials. The information is now available to anyone on the dark web with a couple of extra bucks to spend. Now, apparently the files have been posted online on a hacking forum via an anonymous account called StayMad under the title Breached. And they're only asking for about $2. So maybe this solar flare thing isn't that bad of an idea. More hacking news. This one's from Business Insider. A group of Russian hackers have targeted 3 U.S. nuclear research laboratories. So there's this whole new world of espionage, and it's not done with people, it's not done with suitcases. Well, maybe. But it's done in the world of the internet. It's done with hackers trying to hack, get it into the servers of other countries' nuclear research facilities. It's just a wild world. It's completely changed, you know. Like 10 years ago, wars were very much different now. And same with espionage. Espionage is very much different now. You're trying to hack into places, get access to places. I mean, it was always done like that, but now it's more like online. And you're doing it in a remote location. It's not surprising, but there's a lot of layers always to these things. Very, very interesting stuff indeed. And now some more Russian talk. This is from the war zone. The Russians Zhirokon hypersonic missile now deployed on a frigate, officials claim. Now, if this is true, it's going to change everything that's happening in the Ukraine right now. Hypersonic missiles are these missile systems that cannot be stopped by any sort of countermeasures right now. It would take some sort of AI, super sophisticated AI, to anticipate where these things are going. These things move so fast. From the story, the Russia's Navy first project 22350 frigate has set out on a deployment armed in part with the new Zircon hypersonic cruise missile. According to officials in that country, now in 2022, the Russian government said that the warship had carried the first ever successful live fire launch of a Zircon during a drill in the White Sea. Now, we also need to remember that Russia claimed to have shot down a UFO this week too. So we really don't know what is real and what is not. Now, another story from the war zone. The US Navy is set to become the newest operator of the Kratos XQ-58A Valkyrie drone, at least that we know about. Now, the service recently awarded the company a contract for the purchase of two of these stealthy, low-cost, uncrewed aircraft as a part of a previously unknown program called the Penetrating Affordable Autonomous Collaborative Killer. The US Air Force is the only current known user of the XQ-58A and has been using its Valkyries for various test purposes, including projects that are feeding into the Classified Collaborative Combat Aircraft Program. So these drones are just awesome, apparently. Back to the story. The Penetrating and Affordable Autonomous Collaborative Killer description and the mention of both sensors and sensor and weapon system payloads do give a strong hint as the Navy's core objectives. This all points to a plan to develop one of the more stealthier uncrewed platforms capable of penetrating through hostile air defenses and operating with high degree of autonomous, potentially, as a network swarm, collaboratively with crewed platforms to perform various missions. In other words, it's going to do all sorts of things, good and evil. Well, we all spent the whole week without having a Nessie story, but I found one. The Nessie Visitor Center is undergoing a 1.5-pound renovation. Now, the center was set up in 1980, and to quote the BBC, if you look at the Visit Scotland website, you'll see that the brand of Nessie has been compared in value to Coca-Cola as a brand. The aim of the transformation is to engage, entertain, and inform. Well, with 1.5 million pounds, I don't see how they couldn't do all three. That's been the stories that I found of interest this week. Thanks for listening.